Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're casting our eyes towards the United States and exploring the issue of potential economic overheating. We'll ask, what is America's grand economic experiment? And how does the politics of the day explain why we're seeing some of the almost unprecedented developments that we've witnessed in recent weeks? Our expert panel will mull the possible up and downsides, and we'll train our sights on the longer-term economic horizon and ask what impact the moves being made in Washington, D.C. today could have further down the line. We start with Paul Donovan, Global Chief Economist at UBS Wealth Management. Maybe, Paul, you can start by telling us a little bit more about what exactly that experiment involves.
Well, the grand economic experiment is that the U.S. government, collectively, that's to say the administration and Congress, is throwing rather a lot of fiscal stimulus at the United States, or at least suggesting rather a lot of fiscal stimulus at the United States. So President Trump is talking about infrastructure spending. Now, you know, anybody who has traveled from JFK to central New York will doubtless agree that the U.S. desperately needs infrastructure. Whether now is the right time for that is another matter. The U.S. has got full employment. There is a lack of skilled workers. About 80% of people who work on infrastructure projects are skilled workers. So there is this question about what happens when you take the U.S. economy and throw tax cuts and infrastructure spending and other fiscal stimulus at it. How on earth is the U.S. economy going to be able to cope with this? So this is the experiment that is currently being conducted, more by accident than anything else, in the United States.
Let's talk a bit about the big picture and this idea of the grand economic experiment. Kiran Ganesh, Executive Director at UBS Wealth Management, what does that mean and how does that speak to the overheating or otherwise of the US economy at the moment?
Yeah, sure. So ordinarily what we would expect to see through an economic cycle is that sometimes businesses are growing and they're hiring workers and sometimes they're not growing and they're laying workers off. And you'd normally expect to see the federal government, in this case in the US, trying to step in to reduce the magnitude of those cycles. So when businesses are laying workers off, the government should be looking at spending more on relief programs, perhaps spending on infrastructure to try and increase the number of employees from the government. So it stops this kind of big boom and bust happening in private sector businesses. Now, what we're seeing today in the US is that we've had a very long economic expansion. Unemployment is close to record lows. So ordinarily, you'd expect to see the government starting to tighten its belt somewhat, preparing for any kind of future recession so that it could hire then. But instead, what we're seeing is large tax cuts, infrastructure spending bills, new budgets going through, a huge stimulus coming from the government at a time when, on the face of it, the economy really doesn't need it. So the big question we face from now is what that's going to mean for things like inflation, for things like growth, for things like interest rates, because this is quite unprecedented in modern US history.
Thirdly, to you, Brian Rose, Senior Economist Americas in the UBS Wealth Management CIO. We've heard from this side of the pond. You're sat in the US, and it'd be interesting to look at exactly what defines America's grand economic experiment. Maybe you can tell us a bit about what makes what we're seeing at the moment, if not unusual, maybe a bit atypical.
What does make this unusual is that we're adding a strong fiscal stimulus when the economy is already doing very well. And so historically, when the economy is doing bad, when there's a sharp recession, the government will loosen its policy and try to stimulate the economy, offset the recession. But for an advanced economy to do this really near the top of the cycle when we're already near full employment, that's very unusual.
Let's consider some of the potential upsides. After all, we hear lots of positive news here about growth. There's an upbeat earnings picture. Paul Donovan, is that part of it?
Well, the thing about earnings data, which we have to be very careful about, is that large listed companies are a very small part of the U.S. economy. They're less than 30% of the U.S. economy. It's small businesses that actually dominate the US economy. And large listed companies in the United States are also global in their nature. They're not just looking at the US economy. They have large amounts of their earnings which come from overseas. So the earnings picture doesn't necessarily correlate that strongly with what is going on in the US economy at any given moment in time. Nonetheless, the US economy is doing well, and we are seeing moderate wage growth, though the wage growth has actually slowed down a little in recent months. And that provides a help to the US consumer, which is certainly something to be welcomed. So the fact that the economy is humming along okay is good news for ordinary Americans.
So potential notes of caution are understandably front and centre. What about upsides? Kiran Ganesh, over that same time frame, but even right now, in terms of growth, maybe earnings data, there are upsides here, aren't there?
The upsides are probably more likely to come through in the short term, and a lot of the inflation interest rate story is probably something for the longer term. I mean, for now, look, we've seen a very large corporate tax cut. We've seen some personal tax cuts for higher earners as well. Particularly on the corporate side, that has been a big part of why equity markets have been performing so well in recent months, notwithstanding the recent correction, is that markets have been trying to price in much higher earnings for US companies, and a lot of US companies bringing their money back from offshore back into the US and then distributing that as extra dividends and share buybacks, improving returns for shareholders. So in the near term, there's a lot of money that's getting thrown into the economy. There's a lot of it sloshing around. A lot of it will get returned to shareholders. And we're forecasting 16% earnings growth for the US this year, which is an incredible rate of growth for such a large and well-developed and mature economy. In the short term, all these things can be good, but I think it'll just be key to watch out how do other institutions like the Federal Reserve and other economic variables like inflation react to this over the longer term.
Understandably, we focused on potential worries, downsides. Brian Rose, what about the upside? Are there reasons why you might want the economy to overheat, I guess, coming off the back of a global financial crisis?
Well, a lot of people left the labor force when the crisis hit, and letting the labor market overheat will encourage some of those people to come back. In fact, we have been seeing that recently, where payroll growth remains strong and helped by people who haven't worked for a long time coming back and getting jobs. Also, overheating might prevent us from ending up like Japan with inflation stuck way below the central bank target. So a moderate amount of overheating isn't so undesirable, but again, from a longer-term perspective, government finances are in very bad shape, and that is worrying.
What then about possible bad news or challenges? If we look, Paul Donovan, at potential downsides, what should we have in mind? Is it inflation, higher interest rates, for example?
The potential downsides, if the fiscal stimulus comes through, and we've got to remember that this isn't necessarily going to come through, but if we pile on additional fiscal stimulus at full employment, then yes, inflation is a realistic risk, because what you will see is a tight labor market coming under more strain, and that will be potentially inflationary, at least for some parts of the economy, not necessarily the economy as a whole. There are two other potential downsides that come out of this situation. The first is that the government could crowd out the private sector, particularly around construction. If there really is an attempt to try and get workers into infrastructure projects, that means that there won't be construction workers available for the private sector construction needs, for housing, for businesses, unless there is mass immigration from Latin America, say, which seems relatively unlikely at the moment. So the crowding out aspect is another factor to bear in mind. And the final factor is that this is likely to increase the size of the US current account deficit. The tax cuts that have been proposed and are now being implemented by the administration are likely to be, at least in part, spent on imported goods. It's less making America great again, more making China great again in that regard. And to the extent that the propensity to import is quite high, the US trade deficit is likely to increase on the tax cut side, if not as a result of the government spending.
Kiran Ganesh, you mentioned the Fed before, and I'm interested in their perspective and their concerns here. This spending is being driven by government policy, in particular Trump's commitment to those tax cuts and other initiatives, potentially further significant spend on infrastructure and so on. What preoccupies the Fed of those main issues, do you think?
Well, I would imagine that the inflation number is going to be the key, because that's a core part of their mandate. I mean, the Fed's job effectively is to keep price rises relatively limited, keep people in work, and keep growth at a steady pace. So, I mean, that's what they're going to be trying to achieve. And inflation seems to be the one that's going to be most at risk as a result of this increased spending. So I think they will be watching out for that closely. Of course, we will see, you know, a higher U.S. Fiscal deficit as the government is spending more money. And yes, that's going to increase demand for labor and for capital as well. So the Fed may need to react somewhat if we start to see perhaps longer term interest rates moving up, because that's typically what the government will use to try and fund a lot of these projects. But the Fed doesn't really control them. Now, it will want to kind of keep a good balance between what it sets interest rates at the short term and where interest rates are in the long term. So it may need to watch out for those factors as well. But we think the key thing it will be watching out for is really the inflation numbers, signs of excess pay growth in excess of productivity will be the most important things for them to watch.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the politics involved on the US side, and we'll consider the longer time horizon and what could shape it. Brian Rose, given all the discussion we've heard so far, it rather prompts a question that is, I suppose, as political as it is economic in character, and that is, why would you do this now?
Well, I think there's a couple of things going on. There was a desire to have tax reform just as a general principle or for structural reasons. The politics of enacting that made it a lot easier to do the tax reform that cuts taxes while not doing the tax reform that raises taxes. So on net, we had quite a substantial tax cut. But the budget deal that was enacted around a week ago, this is really pure politics. This is both sides getting the spending that they want without anyone arguing for fiscal discipline. And after this budget deal, we're looking at very large budget deficits well out into the future, despite the fact that, again, the economy is in good shape.
Well, given what you're saying then, Brian, is the main danger not necessarily what happens today, but in 12, 18, 24 months, if indeed politicians do what they say they're going to do?
Well, I'd say the danger of the policy we're enacting now is that the economy will start to overheat. I think there's a good chance that we see at least a moderate amount of economic overheating, with inflation starting to pick up and perhaps going over the Fed's 2% target. And down the road, you can imagine if our budget deficit is 5% of GDP or more, and then there's an economic downturn that causes the deficit to widen further. Now the deficit is 7%, 8% of GDP, and U.S. debt levels are already at historically high levels. So we may find ourselves in a situation not that different from Europe, where in the middle of a recession, you end up implementing austerity measures because the budget deficit has reached such alarming levels.
Kiran Ganesh, can I put that to you too? Does the real question about overheating then perhaps remain to be answered 12, 18 months down the line? Is that fair to say?
Yes, exactly. I mean, I think we'll obviously have to be looking at the data as it comes through to see what the impact of this large amount of new government spending and tax cuts is going to have on the economy. I mean, some data points we'll be watching very closely are things like inflation, because on the face of it, if you are throwing a lot of extra money into an economy when most people have already got jobs, then the only thing left to give is increased wages and then increased prices perhaps as well, if we're not seeing an increase in productivity. So we'll be watching inflation data closely. And importantly, we'll be also watching what happens to interest rates, because the Federal Reserve is, of course, trying to keep inflation contained at around 2%, according to their mandate. If we start to see inflation moving materially above 2%, then they may want to try and put the brakes on the economy, increase interest rates a lot, increase borrowing costs, and then that could lead to an economic slowdown. It still remains to be seen exactly how this plays out and exactly how much inflation increases and how the Fed reacts and how consumer spending responds to tax cuts. But there is certainly an increased risk that we see higher inflation and higher interest rates as a result of what we've seen from the US government.
And if I can come back to you, Paul Donovan, as well. Our opening discussion was asking, is the US economy overheating? So is it overheating, or is it relatively, I don't know, is well balanced the right word?
So where the US is right now is not overheating. I think we would describe the US economy today as being relatively well balanced. Yes, you've got full employment, but we haven't seen significant strains emerging. Inflation pressures are largely under control. Wage growth, as I mentioned, has moderated a little. So where we are today is not overheating. The concern is not, though, about today. The concern is about what happens in 12 or 18 months' time if you take an economy at this starting point and then throw more stimulus at it. What then happens? And so I think the concern is that if politicians do pursue the path that they are talking about, we may end up with an overheating economy in 18 months' time, which might require the Federal Reserve to be a bit more aggressive, might create some uncertainty in the bond markets, might create some problems for the dollar via the current account deficit.
And that's Paul Donovan, bringing us to the end of this 176th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.